This is Christoph Kassoun, and you're listening to Navigating Diversity, where we explore how human beings differ, yet can find ways to relate to one another in an increasingly xenophobic socio-political climate. Today, I am joined by James Pascali, a doctoral student in the Department of Political Science at Idaho State University. James holds a master's in political science, and his research focuses on intersectionality, particularly race and gender. Within the context of your research, how would you define microaggression, and what are some everyday examples?
So microaggressions are an interesting sort of thing within our society, right? In that the sort of racism and sexism of the past was more overt. Mm-hmm. It was more in your face because it was socially acceptable to hold these sorts of ideas. As societies become more diverse and more inclusive, that those sorts of overt sexism and racism is no longer acceptable. And so those feelings still linger around. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but this things such as standpoint theory that cause your perspective to be filtered to the lens of your own experience and your own identity, that sometimes we inadvertently say things and do things that are offensive to certain groups of people.
Right. A lot of times we're unaware.
Exactly. That's the key here, is that it's implicit. Mm-hmm. Because you're not accustomed to socializing with groups outside of your friend circle, that you may think that this is okay in this friend circle because it's okay in this other friend circle.
Right.
And so a microaggression is just that. It's an inadvertent sexist, racist...
type of discriminatory...
Exactly. That you may not be aware of.
What are some everyday examples you can think of microaggression?
I can give a couple examples.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it in movies. We've seen it on the internet. The Twitterverse, if you will. In that I'm touching people's hair, right? That is a form of microaggression.
Right.
You're invading somebody's space to essentially touch their hair.
Which you've exoticized.
You've exoticized, and it's also because of the unique hair of minority groups, mm-hmm. right? That is a form of microaggression. Another example would be, like, for instance, making a certain comment of like, well, you speak so well, right? That's a big one that we hear all the time. Oh, you speak so eloquently.
Your English is so good.
Right. Your English is so good. The person that's saying that is trying to pay a compliment. They're trying to say, hey, wow, you're so articulate with what you were saying.
Right.
But the way that they go about it, and the underlying assumption is that an individual of that particular race or ethnicity or country of origin wouldn't be capable of speaking at that eloquency. Mm-hmm. So essentially, they're paying a compliment, but the other individual is getting that underlying aspect of, why, of course I'm eloquent. Why wouldn't I be eloquent?
Right. I learned standard English in my country from the day I was born.
Exactly. And so that's one of the key things about microaggression is that what the information that you're trying to convey isn't necessarily what is actually being conveyed, and it's based off of the ignorance of a particular culture or the underlying implicit discriminating factors that you have within your own ideas.
The term microaggression was coined by psychiatrist and Harvard University professor Chester M. Pierce in 1970 to describe insults and dismissals which he regularly witnessed non-African Americans inflicting on African Americans. By the early 21st century, the term had been applied to the casual degradation of any socially marginalized group, including LGBTQ, people living in poverty, and people with disabilities. How can the concept of microaggression help people in our own community to navigate diversity?
It's very similar to those ideas of intersectionality,
mm-hmm.
right? In that we teach kids from a very young age empathy, right? We teach people to, and with empathy, it's that externalizing and assigning emotions to other people, right? We typically look at things from a person-centric standpoint. I feel sad. I feel upset. But then empathy applies that aspect of emotion and feeling and desires to other people. He must be sad. He must be upset, right? And being able to recognize that other people are capable of those emotions and those feelings and experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And so in terms of microaggressions, understanding that you as an individual may be doing something that is hurting another person inadvertently. You mm-hmm. may not think you're doing it, but the fact that that person is, hey, you've offended me somehow, and being able to recognize that you are capable of that is something that needs to happen. And then when somebody, because it shouldn't be on the burden of the person that's harmed to then tell you.
Right.
Right.
You should be more conscious in your actions and words.
Exactly. And think about what you're saying in terms of, is this something that could be potentially harmful to that person or make them feel less than somebody that you respect? And so that's kind of the key with microaggressions, is think before you say things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm no stranger to failing at this concept myself. I'm saying things that I didn't know were offensive. But it's through education. It's through doing my own research. It's through listening to other people.
Mm-hmm. Exposing yourself to people who are different from you.
Exactly. And opening that door to those other standpoints and those other experiences that then make it to where, you know, at that moment I go, dang, I shouldn't have said that thing. And I can't change it. I said the thing, but I can change the way that I choose to then go with that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I think that will benefit a lot of people in this conversation.
Lovely, I think so too. Navigating Diversity is a weekly series that airs at 7:35 a.m. on Fridays on KISU-FM. Join us next week as we continue to navigate diversity with an insightful discussion on cultural appropriation. You can find all episodes and more information at kisu.org/programs/navigatingdiversity.